right, everybody, this is the Whole Home Podcast. I'm back for round two with Katie Becker. We are going to jump in with a new game. It's basically a free association game, and I'm really excited about it. So, Katie, you know what free association is. So I'm just going to say something, and you tell me what you think. Okay. All right. I'll start easy. Yellow.
Bird.
Food.
Tacos.
Cozy.
Blanket.
Party.
Fun.
Forever.
Jesus.
Ooh. My mind went jail. I don't know. Fly.
Bird again.
Story.
Book.
Scary.
Ghosts.
Weird.
Ghost again.
School.
Boring.
Katie, come on. Hobby.
Art.
Okay. Exercise.
Running.
Rain.
Drip, drop.
Feet.
Smelly.
Yummy.
Food.
Travel.
Vacation.
Pet.
Dog.
Lunch.
Sandwiches.
Outside.
Grass.
Summer.
Sunshine.
Candy.
Lollipops.
Whole Home Podcast.
Laura.
All right. You did it. You played the first one. Good job. All right, here we go. This one is not free association, so really answer these, please. 5 minutes of questions from my little card pile. And your first one is going to be, what is the best compliment you have ever received?
Oh, I have no idea.
Do your kids tell you sweet things?
No. No, they say, they don't compliment, but they come up and they kind of give me the little side hug and they go, Mommy, I love you, or Mommy, I need to be with you. And it's very sweet.
What is a place in scripture encouraging to you?
Galatians 6.
What is a vacation you're taking this year?
Oh, we just went on vacation. We did a road trip to Florida.
Woo! Disney?
Yes.
Nice. Is there any human that has changed the course of your life?
My husband.
Is there a lie of the enemy you tend to believe?
That I'm worthless.
Is there anything people sometimes, these are, you get all the heavy hitters, sometimes misunderstand about you?
I've been told that I am, I don't know how to put it, like, I'm weird around people. Like, I'm not friendly, especially when it comes to guys or men. I'm not friendly.
Okay. Is there anything you're working on in your house?
Everything and nothing.
Do you have a favorite recent memory?
The beach.
Which one?
We went to Daytona Beach, which I wouldn't go back to.
Okay.
But just the beach in general with the kids and my husband.
If you had 10 times your budget, what would you spend it on?
Probably more art supplies and plants.
Plants, nice. All right. Do you ever sing karaoke, and what would be your go-to song?
I don't. But I wouldn't mind singing karaoke, and it would probably be something by Paul Simon.
Okay. What was your last meal?
Matt made these really incredible sausage and onion and pepper and bacon taco things.
Yum. Like a soft shell, hard shell?
Soft shell. Yeah, it was amazing. I don't know what he did. He put bacon in or something. He's a fantastic cook.
All right. What's your favorite smell?
Ooh, I really like gardenia.
Ooh. Do you listen to any podcasts?
I listen to this one and, yeah, a couple others.
What was the recent problem you solved?
Oh, I was reorganizing the playroom and all the kids' toys are in bins at the bottom of the bookcase. But then I wanted to keep a chair against the bookcase, but then the kids couldn't get to the toys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I rearranged some of the shelves, and then I made the stuffy bin a couple shelves above where the chair wasn't, so they can still reach everything.
Smart.
But now we're not moving chairs to try to dig toys out from in the bookcase, if that makes sense.
It's the little things. Go to breakfast.
Pancakes.
Do you make them from scratch or classic add water?
Typically, I have a really good sourdough pancake recipe I found, but I haven't been doing sourdough recently. And so it's been, Matt bought me a really nice mix of like super heavy protein pancake mix. And it's easy, but it doesn't taste as good.
All right. What are you reading right now?
a lot of things, and I probably should finish. So I'm reading Beowulf.
Why? Wow. How did you choose that?
I've just been on like an adventure
kick.
I'm also reading The Scarlet Pimpernel, which needs to get finished. And I was reading a reading over, and it's called Drawing with Children, I think. It's a art instruction book on how to teach children drawing. And oh, and the what is it? Oh, Do You Believe?
Mm-hmm.
By Paul David Tripp.
Nice.
Is on the list too.
I just tried to today put that on interlibrary loan because our library doesn't have it. All right, two musicians on your playlist.
I've been listening to a lot of Brian Sauvay and Josh Garrels.
He needs to put out something new, huh?
Yeah.
I think, because I love his stuff.
Yeah, I love his stuff, especially the old stuff.
What is your favorite soup?
I love all kinds of soup. Any sort of soup.
Do you collect anything?
A lot of books.
What's your middle name?
Clara.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, so sweet.
Yep, that's why my daughter is Clara.
Is there something people typically don't know about you?
I've been to Japan.
Ooh, where?
In Saitama, it's north of Tokyo.
Okay.
And then I was in Tokyo for a couple days too.
What is the exact favorite spot in your home?
Ooh, well, I like, I would say I like my studio, but I don't because I feel like it's a dungeon, but I like working in my studio.
Yeah.
And I love my vegetable garden right now because it finally looks pretty. And I have on our living room where we sit and read Bible in the mornings. I
by like the window spot. Or not?
No, I'm not by the window.
Are my you talking about your upper, the where you enter your house?
Yeah, where we enter the house. Mm-hmm. I really like that couch a lot. Oh, but then, yeah, downstairs, I have a really cozy chair by the window.
Nice.
Where we sit in the evenings.
If you could become an expert in something, what would it be?
Right now, it's been a lot of drawing and painting. I wanted to get better at that. But if you asked me another time, I'd probably say sourdough or gardening or something like that.
And finally, a tradition you observe in your household.
I don't know. I feel like we're not really good about tradition stuff, unless you count watching Christmas movies.
Sure,
every year.
Sure.
Is that a tradition?
Yeah.
We're kind of more spontaneous. Like, we go out and we celebrate things when there's nothing to celebrate. Mm-hmm. And then it's someone's birthday and we're like, oh, wait, it's your birthday. We should do something.
Yeah.
So we're like pretty spontaneous.
All right. You get a ding. Dinner's up. All right, Katie, let's go to your garden. Tell me about the neighborhood you live in and how long that you've been there.
All right, so I'm kind of right near where Pony Pasture is. So I'm in the south side, off Forest Hill, if you know where the Publix and the Target are on Forest Hill. My house is near the river, and we've been there for 3 years, and it's, you know, it feels, it's great because it's near the river and we're near a neighborhood pool, but our street kind of just feels old and tired in a way.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, just like tired.
Yeah.
Like sleepy.
But you came from the fan, right?
Yeah, we came from the museum district, which was, did not feel old and tired.
Happening.
very active.
So who is in your household?
My husband, Matt, and my son, Cyrus, my daughter, Clara Joy, Leo, and little Ella.
She's so cute.
She's adorable.
All right. How long have you been coming to Remnant, Katie, and who invited you?
14 years, and you and Ryan invited me.
Woo! What community group are you in right now?
We lead and host our own community group.
Awesome. Let's move to planning your garden, your garden of life.
Yeah.
Not hypothetical. It's actual and real. Is there any desires or dreams that you have?
I've been praying and thinking a lot about artwork and studio. I mean, my life is so much more than that. And God's called me to so much more than that. But recently, it's just been a lot of prayers about, you know, wanting to make artwork and asking the Lord which direction should I take with artwork? And I've got a lot of ideas. I always have ideas for projects and things that I want to do. So it's really like having ideas and then coming to the Lord and asking him, like, what would you have me do with this in the limited time that I have?
So where do you keep these ideas? Is it something that, like, you stoke, or they just kind of bubble up inside of you and you're like, where'd that come from?
I think they just sort of bubble up. Mm-hmm. So it depends. Like when I'm doing a lot of homeschooling with the kids, then one of the ideas I had was like, I want to make, like, Claire Joy was learning her ABCs, and I'm like, wouldn't it be amazing if I had beautifully illustrated alphabet cards for every single, you know, every single letter, and I just had these beautiful, you know, like a beautiful moon for M, and you know, stuff like that. And so that was like one idea that I had recently. And then I started this past year, we do scripture memory, and I always have a hard time memorizing scripture. And so I wanted to, I actually saw you, Laura, that you write out your scripture, or you had them in your house, I noticed at one point. And I thought, I should do the same thing. I should actually like write something out, and I should like put it somewhere, so then that way we can see it, because we always forget what verses we learn, or we learn it and then we forget it, or then I'm like, which ones did we do? So I wanted to do a whole series of illustrated Bible verses, and so then that way, and I did a little bit.
Cool.
And then I had started doing Romans with the kids, and then I got really stuck, and I was like, I just started having a really hard time. So
what do you mean by we started doing Romans?
Like, we started for the spring semester, I wanted to kind of do the Romans road. And it's sad because now I don't remember a lot of it because I'm not good at scripture memory. But we were walking through a lot of Romans and memorizing a lot of the scriptures. And so having the printed, like printing out scripture cards on cardstock, so that way we could hold it. And the idea was that I would have illustration to go with every single verse, and so then that way Cyrus could read, like Cyrus and I, we could read the scripture and learn it, but then the little ones, like they could at the very least, like they're seeing a picture, like an illustration they could look at,
which are powerful. Images are powerful.
And I'm a visual thinker and a visual learner, so it's like I think in terms of images a lot anyways, so I was really stumped, so we're kind of stuck on that. And then my mom really wants me to do, she was saying, she's like, you need to do the I am statements from John, like I am the bread of life and
cool
and stuff like that. And so that's, I don't know, I've got so many ideas. But
so are these, would they be, you mentioned lithographs before, or paintings or watercolors, or what are you thinking?
Probably watercolors. Or maybe, I don't know, I've been thinking a lot about colored pencil too, but I don't really own any. So, you know, that would be more like art supplies to buy, right?
Never can have too many.
You can't have too many, right?
Her eye twitches. So where do you keep all these ideas? Are they all just in your head? Or do you sketch them out?
I write them out. Okay. Sometimes I sketch them out, or I'll do little thumbnails. Or
all in one place? Or are you more like a grab a napkin kind of person?
No, I've got it here on the table. I've got a big giant sketchbook, and that's like my sketch journal. So I'll do thumbnails and I'll write down ideas. And then I've got smaller watercolor sketchbooks that I carry around. And so every once in a while, I might throw something in there. But my big sketchbook, that's really more of like the journal to do all like the messy thumbnailing and scribbling and, you know, writing down of ideas.
So what is the likelihood that you actually will do the projects you dreamed up? Is because I'm assuming you didn't just start dreaming this year. You've probably had, you know, thoughts for many, many years.
Yeah. The likelihood is small.
Small.
It's
okay.
Very small.
What is there, has there been one that you're like, that you've done or two?
I have done some of the scripture memory. Mm-hmm. Like we do have a stack of cards that I did illustrate, and they're not great. It's not great pictures. It's not great drawings. The design's not great. It's really more of like I made it and I'm like, this is for family home use. And I did a whole set. I was trying to do it with all of our Latin cards too. I wanted to have illustrated Latin cards. But that's, I was like, this is taking up way too much of my time.
Yeah. So what is your inspiration in general? It sounds like a lot of these ideas are for things that make it easier to learn something.
Yeah. So some of my ideas that I get are from homeschooling the kids, and and then thinking, how can I apply the stuff that I like to do, drawing and painting, and then how could I make materials to help my children learn and help me learn too.
Have you noticed any of your kids trying to like sketch something out kind of the way you're talking about?
Yeah, Clara Joy carries a little sketchbook around, and she carries a little pencil pouch with crayons and pencils and stuff in it.
Very cute.
Yeah.
So is inspiration hard to come by, or you're just, do you try to turn your brain off and like, no, I can't have more thoughts? Or you just let it happen?
I just let it happen. Yeah. It's gonna come either way. And then there'll probably be a season where I just have no idea what to do and I'm totally uninspired and I don't want to do anything.
So how about this? How has this kind of changed over the course of your life as far as the way you think about making artwork? That's a big question.
Yeah.
You get 30 seconds. Okay. Totally joking.
Well, recently, like, I have a lot of ideas. So the ideas of making, of doing illustrations is something I've been playing around recently, like the past school year in my head, because I am homeschooling. And so I want to be able to educate my children, and I want to be able to do it with excellence. And it's something I also find incredibly challenging. And so part of it is trying to think, like, how can I make this more fun for me?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's part of it, is just, you know, like, asking the Lord, what would you have? And I'm not quite certain if those projects are ones that will ever see the light of day. Mm-hmm. Like, some of it might just be some things that I make, and it's just something that I use with my kids, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that good enough?
I mean, and for some stuff, it's like, that's all it needs to be. The audience can just be my children. Mm-hmm. The audience can just be for my family. I don't have to make things like for everybody. So, some stuff like with art, it's like, this would just be a fun thing to put in the schoolroom, or this would just be a fun idea for us to do as a family. And then, you know, I've got other ideas that are like more serious, you know, gallery type work with a much broader audience in mind. And that's like the serious work or whatever.
Yeah. So is that, something's happening in your studio, because it sounds like you're in there. What kind of ideas do you take into that space?
I've been doing, for the past many years, ever since Cyrus was born, or at some point after he was born, so he's 8, so for a while now, I've been doing a lot of watercolor landscapes of the city, a lot of alleyways and urban landscapes and, you know, graffiti and things like that you see in the city. And so that's more of like the serious work, where you would, if you were to go on my website or on Instagram or something like that, you would see the serious stuff. You wouldn't see the things that I think about making for the kids so that we can have fun homeschooling. Mm-hmm. You're going to see the serious work that I would make and think, like, this I could put in a gallery one day, or I could show, or I could sell to a collector. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's move to your sewing.
Yeah.
These are the seeds of faith in your life that are just being pushed down. So new things.
I said learning to love what has to be done. And it's learning to love homemaking, and in particular in homemaking, because that's a really broad spectrum of what homemaking is, but I'm thinking specifically about doing the chores, doing the dishes, doing the laundry, sweeping the floor, things like that. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the everyday mundane. As soon as you do the dishes, another dirty dish goes in the sink.
100%.
You know, like, it's just the stuff that feels like it never ends. And maybe other people could tell me this, I think that I'm a project person. I think that I thrive off of knowing that I can have a project and that the project will be ended at some point and I can move on to a different project. Mm-hmm. And so I think that having just these everyday chores that it literally doesn't end. And I'm not trying to complain about it. It's just like, it doesn't end.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as you sweep the floor, you're going to have to sweep it the next day or the next hour, right? Like, it's just, you're going to have to do it again. We wear clothes, so we're going to have to clean those clothes, and then we're going to have to put the laundry away, and it's never ending. So learning to love those chores and to be content with that housework.
So who did the chores growing up in your household?
My mom.
Yeah. So when did you start doing chores?
When I got married.
Now we're getting to it. Yeah. No. So I just thought it was interesting that you went all the way. You went ultimate here. You said, I'm learning to love what must be done. Like you just went all the way for, gotta love it. I guess, what were you doing before?
Yeah. So before it'd be, and I'm still like this. So I'm not perfect, but you know, like, oh, gotta do the dishes again. You know, just like having that attitude of discontentment and not enjoying it. Whereas I'm come to the point where I'm like, this, God has called me here. Mm-hmm. This is a good work that I am doing. I'm loving and serving my family, and I want to do it with a joyful heart, and I want to have contentment in it. I don't want to be continually frustrated about the work that he is calling me to do. It's good work.
Right. Is this something that you started to feel within yourself, or was it something where your household's like, hey, mom, why do you look so mad when you're doing the dishes?
Kind of both. You know, you're frustrated and then you snap.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they don't realize that I was frustrated because, oh, I have to go do the dishes again or I have to clean this. But, and also, you know, kind of being like, hey, mom, there's no forks.
That's funny. You also put joy in your notes. Do you want to mention that real quick? And homeschooling.
Yes.
So you did put homeschooling in with.
Okay.
Were you calling that sort of like the everyday, the mundane too?
Yeah.
Or is that different?
No, homeschooling's another one.
Yeah.
It's really hard and it's really challenging. And it's something where every single day when I start the day, I have to ask the Lord to give me joy. And I have to ask him to just be with us, like help the children to have joy in wanting to learn, help me to have joy in teaching. And, you know, this is a privilege that we get to do this, and you know, help us to have gratitude and thankfulness, because it is a privilege. Like, I'm serious, like homeschooling my children, it is immense privilege and it's an incredible calling, and it's what the Lord has called me to. But I don't have a joyful attitude about it. I'm just like, oh, yes. This is so frustrating. And I like to read, but teaching the kids to read is not fun. And so just asking, you know, just like every single day, it's and throughout the day, it's, Lord, please help us to do this.
It is interesting how something mundane, though, that you're saying there's a lack of joy that can be there and should be there. And so that something that we do over and over and over again can be possibly the source of joy. Or where would that source of joy be? I'm kind of leaving it broad for you to answer, but just thinking about how like that can be a pathway to, or can be a source of joy and even love, like you said, that there's something that you recognize that you need to learn about love through what must be done.
So the Lord he's called me to be, as he has called most women, to be wives, to be mothers, to be homemakers. And it's seeing that that's a wonderful and glorious thing that he has called us to. It is not something that is unskilled, unpaid labor, which is what the world sees it as, right? Like, you hire someone to clean your house for you, and you probably don't want to pay them that much. Like, a janitor doesn't get paid that much. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
When I taught and I worked in a daycare, I got paid minimum wage. Monetarily, I was not being valued as someone who was tasked to care for an infant. Yet, it's a high calling that God has given us as women. And I think that the more I'm growing in the Lord, the more I'm seeing that the calling that he has given me to be a wife, a homemaker, to homeschool my children, to really, it's like raising your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And it involves all these components. And this is where the Lord is calling me to. And it's not this boring. I mean, it can feel boring, but it's not like this work that you just wish that you could pay someone else to do so that you don't have to do it. in the way it's, I don't know, I'm trying to say like the world, or maybe the way that God is working this out in me, is instead of thinking that I need to go out and have a job or have that amazing art career, instead God is saying, no, what I want for you is I want you to stay home. And this is your job, and this is a good job, and it's a glorious job, and it is honoring, and you are following me, and you're fulfilling what I am calling you to do.
Yeah.
Do it with excellence.
Well, in a way, I guess if we could step back a few years and like pan out a little bit, there's like a serious, really incredible, I guess you could say learning, since you talked about learning curve for your whole family, because your family stepped into being business owners, you stepped into homeschooling, which is new, you've stepped into 4 children, community group leaders, they're like an incredible amount of responsibility, all kind of happening together, home ownership. And it's just amazing. Y'all haven't sunk, like God is holding you up, even if it's hard. I don't know. How do you see it?
Yeah, only by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Only because he's given us responsibilities. And the more we grow, the more responsibilities he gives us. But it's a good thing. I think it's Pastor James, but one of the pastors, how they say like baskets of fruit are heavy. And so it's like that. It's, you know, he gives us good things to steward and to take care of. And my husband and I want to be like, we don't want to be the person in the parable that gets the talent and then just buries it, mm-hmm. and doesn't return a profit. We want to be the one that is given the talents and makes, you know, trades and makes a profit. And then we can come back to the Lord and we can say, you gave me this. I have multiplied it like this.
Yeah. And also you didn't get to where, I mean, it sounds like it happened all at once, but still God does still step us out, I think, very lovingly. And we start where we start, but God doesn't leave us there.
No.
Kind of thing. So like if you were writing your story, would you even imagine the life you have right now? I don't know, like 5 years ago?
No.
Yeah. Could you say, not. Oh, well, obviously we're going to be business owners and obviously like 4 kids, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. No. No, because before we started homeschooling, we were like, you know, there were some, like I know you were homeschooling. There were some families whose kids were school aged and they were starting to homeschool. And I remember I was still having a lot of conversations with people where I was like, but I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, realizing he's like, no, this is where the Lord is calling us to.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Let's move to watering. This part made me laugh out loud when I read what you wrote. I just gotta be honest. So what are the things that in your life you're actively tending to, you're stewarding, or praying about? What's the first thing you wrote there?
Okay. I said, I don't know.
And then you wrote 7 things.
So, yeah, I said, being better and keeping my home neat, clean, and efficient, raising my kids, balancing my God-given duties with passions, asking God to change my heart, prayers for wisdom on what creative pursuits to focus on, and to not quench the spirit and to love others well.
All right, we're going to step this out. So what happened? Your initial I don't know, and then whoosh, the floodgates opened.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, let's start with 1. Okay, being better and keeping my home neat, clean, and efficient. Break down neat, clean, and efficient.
Okay, I'm a slob. My home is a wreck. And
I've never seen it that way.
No one knows where the forks are. No, I'm a messy person by nature. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. Like, just, I've never been one to be very good about cleaning, keeping a cleaning schedule, and I don't know, like meal planning. Like I'm not good at meal planning or just, I don't know, all the things that I feel like when I think about how like a good home should be run.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I feel like, man, I wish I could be like that. I'm trying, but we're not there.
Yeah. So is this something, this is a weird question, internal or external? Do you think that your home, it has to be a certain way and that once you like figure out something inside, it will change? Or do you think that actually like it's fine and that you just have to be at peace with it?
No, it needs to change.
Okay.
It needs to change. Yeah. It needs to change because because our house is a wreck, I feel. No, like, we try to keep it, like, we try to clean it for community group. We tried to, well, we've been on vacation recently, so mm-hmm. We haven't been practicing hospitality because we've been gone. But when we are not away on vacation, we do try to have a lot of people over for dinner. We try to do it multiple times a week. So it's like, no, like, I am trying to, like, keep things neat and tidy, but we also, I don't know, like, just living in the house, it's like we see, like, I know where all the dirt is, mm-hmm. and so does the rest of my family.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It's not just me, like, looking and being like, I need to sweep that corner. It hasn't been swept. And, like, no one else knows. It's mm-hmm. like, we all know.
Yeah.
It's no secret.
So if this is something, this is the section, we're not talking about arrival here, harvest. We're talking about the prayer. Your attention is towards it. So where do you start? Are you starting just like, okay, I'm just going to focus on this space? Or how do you think about it?
I'm practically, it's let me try to get the dishes done mm-hmm. every day. Even if there are still dirty dishes in the sink by the end of the day, let me at least get the dishwasher started. Right? Like, let me at least try to address the sink every single day. And I'm starting, now that we have 4 kids, it's starting to be the same thing with laundry too, where I'm realizing I need to address the laundry every day. I need to at least try to fold a load, or I don't know, like, set a timer and fold some clothes for 10 minutes.
Right.
And I've been putting on my to-do list as well, sweep and tidy. So just clear off the counter, put some things away, like, just tidy up basic, which, you know, we don't have any pets, but we've got a lot of kids, so there's a lot of crumbs. So, like, some of those are just, like, basic things. And then I would love to get better at, I think I said, meal planning. I'm really terrible at meal planning. I don't know how people meal plan.
Yeah.
And my husband and I, we both, like, Matt's a really good cook. And he has a passion for cooking. And he has a passion for food. And so we go through seasons where maybe I'm cooking a whole bunch. But then we also go through seasons, like, right now where he just, like, he can't wait to get in the kitchen and start cooking. You know, then we're, like, trying to work together to figure out, like, what should we buy at the grocery store? What should we make and things like that? I don't know. Like, I want to be able to have everything structured. And so then that way we can look at the calendar and we can be like, we're eating this. You know, we're having curry on this day and we're having tacos on this day. And sometimes it's like that. And a lot of times it's like, I have no clue. And then same thing with cleaning, because we have community group on Wednesdays and I find myself doing a lot of cleaning on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. And then I think afterwards, because by the time I finish cleaning the house and vacuuming and cleaning the bathrooms, I'm exhausted. It's like 6:30. People are about to come in and I'm like, oh my goodness, I just want to go downstairs.
Yeah.
And I want to rest and I don't want to talk to anyone. And that's terrible, because that's when community group is. Mm-hmm. And I need to be loving and excited and, like, yes, like, people are coming over and I'm welcoming people into my home and we're sharing the gospel and we're going to, you know, like, so, yeah. Like, maybe I should start, you know, not doing everything on one day.
You also don't have kids really chore age yet.
It is tough.
It falls on you a lot. Yeah. Yeah. We'll pray for some light to shine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I said this on the podcast before, and it's crazy how, I don't know, there's some big things that Ryan has responsibility for in the house. Generally, they're, like, the bigger things, mowing the lawn and stuff, trash out. But he puts away the dishes, the clean dishes for me. And I can't tell you, it's like my brain is, like, euphoric. It's like that, just that one little take off my plate has, like, changed my entire life. I don't even know how to explain it. Maybe there's something like that for you.
Yeah.
That'll just, maybe something you hadn't thought of before. But okay, next you got raising kids. I think you're doing an awesome job with this. So how is this something that you're actively tending? And do you have 4 different personalities in kids, or, like, tell us about them?
Yeah, I love my kids so much. They're awesome. But yeah, raising them is, you know, raising kids is, it's a lot of hard work. And I think it's a lot easier to kind of ignore or, like, wink at sin and, like, wink at disobedience and, like, not really address it, because that takes work
mm-hmm.
to turn to your child and be like, okay, what you did was wrong. And so it's just, like, trying to be on top of disciplining them in a loving, firm way, because I want to raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Like, I always grew up thinking, like, oh, some kids are easy and they're well-behaved, and some kids, oh, man, you just got really bad kids.
Yep.
You know, and it's just sort of like a toss of the dice whether you're going to have good kids or bad kids. And now I'm realizing it's like, no, we are all sinful, and our sin points in different directions. So some of my kids, their sin is very obvious, and it's, like, attention-grabbing. And then other kids, their sins are a lot more sneaky and quiet, but it's still a sin. And so I'm starting to realize that with, because one of my kids is like, oh yeah, I know I'm a sinner. Another one's like, yeah, I don't sin at all. So.
All right. What about balancing my God-given duties with my passions?
So with God-given duties, I'm talking about the wonderful call of being a wife and a homemaker and homeschooling my children, and how that it's a really, really good thing. Mm-hmm. And it's there are responsibilities that God has tasked me with. But then I also, like, I'm always wanting to be in the studio, and I'm always wanting to paint and draw and just kind of, like, not be bothered. And it's working out, because I know that as a Christian, just because I like to make artwork doesn't mean that, oh, that's an idol, and so therefore I must stop immediately, and I cannot be creative, and I cannot paint or draw a single image ever again. Because in the same way, like, if I said, I think that I'm idolizing my husband and being married, I wouldn't walk away and divorce my husband. Mm-hmm. If I said, I'm idolizing being a mother, I wouldn't walk away from my family or disown my children. So I don't know, maybe I'm overstepping this, but at the same way, I'm thinking there's got to be a way for me to love the Lord and follow him and what he's called me to, and yet also follow, I don't want to say follow my passions in my heart, because that sounds terrible, but, like, also be like, I like to draw and I like to paint, and so I want to be able to do it in a way that glorifies the Lord, that's not not in a way that's idolatrous, or in a way that's sinful, or in a way that is ignoring everyone else in my life, right, simply to, like, selfishly pursue my own passion.
Right. Well, you're also not a, is it right to say this, Platonist or something, where you're like, this is my spiritual life over here, and then here's my base human life where I draw things. Like, actually, as a Christian, you don't have this dualist perspective. No. So there is a way that creating is to the glory of God, and all good things come from God and are to him and for him and flow from him. So then I think this is properly put in this watering section of stewarding, just like you were talking about how you and Matt think about that in other areas of your life. This isn't, like I said, like the base, you know, carnal part. That's not how Christians properly view all of life. But there's a way that it has its proper place, I guess I should say, as I'm trying to reach here in my mind.
Yes, I agree. There's a place for it. And like it says in Ephesians, there's a time. Mm-hmm. And so there are seasons where I can do a whole bunch, and there are seasons where I have to be content with a very little amount of time. Mm-hmm. And either way, we give glory to God and we give thanks to him.
Right. Well, as a wife of someone who is a maker, I've sat back and watched Ryan, like, not make anything for years at a time. Honestly, he hasn't painted anything in over a year, and he just has learned to not idolize it and just trust God's timing. And that actually this year, this summer, it looks like he's going to be picking up a paintbrush again. And so it's just like God kind of has shifted his heart and mind to be patient with God's timing and to move with that and to have great joy in whatever season that he's in. Yeah. And what's been really cool about that is that actually, if you are someone that just wants to make something, there is a time where, like, these periods of rest, you can maybe call it rest or waiting, is like you accumulate and you refine your ideas or your thoughts or whatever. And that's definitely happened with Ryan. And I don't know, in, like, God's economy, there is, like, excellence is different than the world standard of excellence. Like, I would say whatever scribble that you've done for your kids for homeschool is probably excellent, because it met the job. It did what it was supposed to do, and it was done with love. So I'd say that's pretty excellent. But anyway, let's move to asking God to change my heart. Now, is this a long-term ask? Or is this, you put it in the watering section, a new ask?
No, this is long term.
Okay. How do you want to share this?
It's not like any one specific thing. I think it's just like a general prayer that you know, we pray as a family because we know that we're sinners and we're prone to stray. We know that we are prone to worship the creation instead of the creator, and we're prone to just like slip into idolatry sometimes without even realizing it. Yeah. And so it's just sort of always been a continual prayer of Matt and mine to this sounds weird. Sometimes people are like, what are you talking about? But sometimes we'll be like, Lord, please save us. We are saved. We have mm-hmm. been saved. Mm-hmm. But it's that continual, like, Lord, please don't let our hearts grow cold to your grace. Help us to rejoice in your salvation. And like, what's the hymn? Like, tune my heart to see his grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say, though, again, this is in that watering section. And if you're watering something, it doesn't stay a seed forever. So this is like a sprouted something. Have you seen some growth as you're praying this prayer?
Yeah, I think that, you know, like what I'm saying with just the spheres of responsibility. Mm-hmm. So learning to love those who are different than we are, learning to love taking care of a house, and learning to love the fact that I get to teach my kids and we're homeschooling, just sort of like the everyday. I don't know if that makes sense, mm-hmm. but like, so like we do see fruit in that. Like, I know that God is changing my heart and he's making me to look more like him every day. But sometimes I'm so much in the thick of it, I can't see it.
Yeah.
I just have to trust that he has promised it. And I know his word is true. So I know I can lean on that. Even if sometimes I'm like, I can't see where you're changing me, but I know you are because mm-hmm. you promised you would.
Yeah. Speaking to exactly what you're saying, there's something that I've been praying about, a sin that I'm just like, I'm so tired of this, Lord. When will I be free of this certain default sin of mine? And then recently I was like, hey, I haven't done that in a couple days, but I didn't see it when it was happening. And yeah, I don't know. I totally get what you're saying. All right. Trekking right along. Prayers for wisdom on what creative pursuits to focus on. I love all your exclamations. I feel like you're speaking my language because I love exclamation points. You said, I have many ideas, exclamation points.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of ideas, but I don't have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. So there's wisdom in knowing what can I do right now? Yep. And what is a project that can be done at a later date?
Yeah. Just because something's good doesn't mean it's always wise, because wisdom is knowing something and rightly applying the good. Okay. Well, clearly you have some kind of time to work. Is it all spontaneous, or have you and Matt figured out like a schedule for you to do creative pursuits? What?
Yeah, I work in the mornings, so I'm not a morning person, but I try to get up. And so we do Bible at 7:30 as a family. And so basically from whenever I wake up until 7:30, I can sit in the studio with my coffee and that's my time.
Okay. So a time you wish you didn't have, but you're glad for it?
I'm glad for it. I just wish I was a morning person because mm-hmm. And Matt's always like, well, you always want more time. That's the only place you would ever be. And that's the only thing you would ever be doing.
Yeah.
If you were left to your own devices. But yeah, so like we carve out, I don't know, it's like 30 minutes. I'm trying to wake up a little bit earlier, but it's not that long. It's just like a cup of coffee in the morning.
Well, I appreciate hearing that. Just the faithfulness of this humility, even to do something that's not your sweet spot, but your desire motivates you. That's cool. All right. Next, you got to quench the spirit.
Yep. Now I'm forgetting all my verses, but that's one of the verses that we've been praying is the from, I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5:16
yeah.
through 19. So, we've been saying that verse to each other. I picked that out in the winter, and that's been a verse that we've been saying, like me and the kids. Mm-hmm. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. And then right after that, it says, do not quench the spirit. And so that's been a prayer that we've kind of added to our prayers a lot, is like, not to quench the spirit, because I think it's so easy when the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do something. It's just so easy to be like, no, I don't want to. No, I don't feel like texting that person today.
Yeah.
I don't want to reach out to that person. So, and then realizing it's like, I think you're quenching the spirit.
Yeah. You wrote, finally, in this section, love others well. And I thought it was funny that you have used the word excellence many times in this podcast, because I literally wrote here, she wants to love with excellence. And so it's funny that you use that word. But okay, so why excellence or well?
Because that's what the Lord, you know, he loves us well. He loves us so much and so deeply. And he's so patient. He's so gracious and he's so forgiving with me and with my family. And then he calls us to be like that. And so when I look at my life and the friendships and relationships I have with people, it's knowing, it's like I have so much more, you know, like Christ has so much more that he can grow in me so that I can love others.
Yeah. Thinking about what you wrote here really sent my mind going, and then hopefully this will make sense. But as I was thinking about just the simple three words you wrote, love others well, I'm like, well, to do this, you actually have to consider others. And then loving someone, it's so easy to default and think that loving people has something to do with being liked by them. I don't know how to explain it, but just this mutual just feeling of goodness towards each other. And then when you said loving well, it just sent my mind to think like, okay, what does love actually mean then? If it's not necessarily about fretting about others' opinions about you, or like, do I have a position in front of their eyes where I am favorable towards them as I'm doing this? And I think this will weave into what you're going to talk about even next in the podcast in this training and pruning section. But thinking even about the scripture, like what is the classic 1 Corinthians 13 scripture? If you want to say some of the things, we all know it.
Yeah, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it keeps no record of wrong.
It's not arrogant, finds no joy in unrighteousness. It always rejoices with the truth. It's not irritable, self-seeking, and then there's even more in there. Did I say even rude? Like, it's not rude. Like, all of these things, it's just interesting to think about. Okay, if you're loving others well, a lot of times love steps in when people are, like, not the greatest towards you, or when, like, there's not favor towards you, or there's not a kind thing said towards you, or... do you know what I'm saying? It's like it can be applied in all sorts of situations. Love can step in with the better way.
Yeah. Love covers offenses. And so it's easy to love someone who is like you, or who likes the same things as you, or who is flattering and is like easy to get along with. That's easy. Or if you feel like, you know, warm, fuzzy feeling, but that's not really love. Love is... Love is when someone sins against you and you say, I forgive you because Christ has forgiven me. Love is when people are difficult, or like you said, like difficult or rude, and yet you turn the other cheek. You know, like they, what does it say in Matthew? Like they, you know, he takes your cloak and you give him, I can't remember it. But, you know, like, you know, what it in Matthew, it's like around, what is it, like around chapter five or so in the Beatitudes, about loving your neighbor and what that looks like and turning the other cheek and having forgiveness. And that doesn't mean you're a doormat and you let people walk all over you. It also means being firm, being bold and courageous, telling the truth, yet telling the truth in a way that is gentle. But that also means that you don't just let people necessarily get away with sin. You're going to speak the truth. You're going to share the gospel even when it offends. But yeah, think about how Christ loved us. And
Well, I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say it's like I was really captured by what you wrote, because I just think we don't really understand like just how radical love is. Like, it is not a give to get. It is not a, I love the things that I know I'm going to get something back from kind of thing. It's like actually a total, I mean, think about, you know, 1 John, if you don't love your brothers and sisters in Christ, like I read at the beginning of your other podcast, then you don't love me. And it's exactly what you're talking about. And if love is applied in the situations where, rudeness is happening, or a situation where you could be tempted to arrogant, like all of these things, and then love steps in with just something so different. It's really gripping. And to think that Christ just was that way, Jesus embodied it all the time, always. It just must be extraordinary. And I pray that he changes me to actually operate from love more fully. And I can tell that you're praying that too. And it goes right into your training and pruning section, Katie, like totally all the way, because this whole section, I feel like you're talking about desiring for love to be chief in your heart. But I'll let you say it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wrote here, having difficult conversations. So something that the Lord has been really working in me, because I have such fear of man, and I really, really, really hate confrontation. And I don't like it when people call out my sin, and I don't like it when I have to call out other people's sin. I want to make peace. I want things to be smoothed over. I want everyone to just get along and be happy. I don't want to rock the boat. And something that I asked the Lord was, you know, Lord, help me to not be afraid of having hard conversations. And
he said, let's go to the gym.
Yeah. And he said, let's go. You know, but like, it's a good thing. Like it says in James, praise, you know, thank the Lord for when you have trials, because the testing of your faith produces endurance, and endurance produces, you know, character, you know, so you can have that godly character. We, you know, and it says that like in Malachi, it talks about a refiner's fire. That's like a common theme, right? Mm-hmm. Is the refining fire of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And how do you think the Lord is going to, some things he has to work out in our life by that fire.
Right.
We have to be tested underneath a fire. What comes out, it's like he is removing the impurity. He's removing the sin from our mm-hmm. lives. And he's there to make us more whole, and make us, you know, more whole in the sense that we are there. We're going to look more like him. And he's promised us that. And we know that, and we can see that. I think it's in Philippians. I think it's in chapter 2, but I know it's in other places too. And I don't have it written down, but yes, it's like we can trust and know that the Lord is sanctifying us, and he is working in us. Yes. Philippians 2, work out your faith with fear and trembling. And part of that is allowing the Lord to put us in situations that are uncomfortable, or putting our families in situations that are uncomfortable, yeah. And then saying, Lord, you got this, you're good. None of this feels good right now, but I know you're good. Mm-hmm. And I know you're going to bring me through. And for me, part of that is not being timid and afraid, but learning to be bold and courageous, like it says in Joshua and so many other parts in the Old Testament, be bold and courageous, for the Lord is with you. And remembering, like it says it in Deuteronomy a lot too, like the Lord is the one fighting for you.
Yeah.
And so
he goes before you.
The Lord goes before us, right? And so we can have confidence that even if I am scared out of my mind and like my whole body is shaking because I am just like so scared about talking to somebody, and it could be something really stupid and silly, right? But if I'm scared,
yeah.
The Lord is good, and he goes before me. So this is me reminding myself of that goodness.
Yeah. Tell me about how Pilgrim's Progress plays into this.
Yeah. So we've been reading Pilgrim's Progress, the illustrated edition. I think it's called Little Pilgrim's Progress. And I think Helen Taylor was the one who adapted it from John Bunyan, but then Joe Sutphin is the illustrator, and so he put it together, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful book, and I've been reading it with the kids, and it goes through, it's an allegory. So the story starts off with little Christian. He wants to follow the Lord and be a Christian. He wants to leave the city of destruction. He's on his way to the celestial city. And he goes through all sorts of trials and difficulties. And he meets all sorts of different people. And some of the people, and I love it because it's an allegory. So his name is Christian, and you know he's a Christian. And his companions are faithful and hopeful. Mm-hmm. And so, you know that faithful is going to be faithful in the midst of trial. And you know that hopeful is going to hold on to the hope of Christ
right.
in trial. And it's been amazing. It's been amazing for me to read as I am walking out my own faith to read it and to be like, oh my goodness, that situation, that was just like what little Christian did in the book. It's also been really amazing because it has brought about a lot of conversations, especially with my kids, where we've talked about what it looks like to suffer for the gospel or what it looks like to be persecuted for the gospel, because mm-hmm. there's a point in the book where Christian is, he is being persecuted and he's beaten and he's put into jail. And I mean, it's like, it's a kid's book. So like they're addressing it, but they're doing it in a really beautiful way. And it's given us a lot of good conversations where we can talk about, I don't know, I just feel like especially my boys, my youngest son, he's little, so he doesn't get it. But my oldest, he has accepted Christ and he does want to follow the Lord. And he's at an age where he can start to understand that the world does not love Christ. And so it's been a wonderful way to kind of start talking about, you know, don't be surprised. Like it says, you know, don't be surprised, dear children, when the world hates you because it hated me first.
Mm-hmm. So where are you guys in the story? Have you finished?
We haven't finished. We finished little Christian's story. And so now we're reading about Christiana. They're on a journey.
Yeah.
And it's been really great. And I love how they separated it. So you have the little boy, but now we're reading about the little girl. And I feel like as my daughter gets older, she'll probably be really excited to have a female protagonist that she can kind of cling on to and see.
So I wanted to ask you, you've kind of already answered it, but maybe you could even tease this out a little bit more. You talked about training, being in the gym for loving those who are different and being patient, yet being firm in the truth of the gospel. So where did you learn how to do this, or where are you learning how to do this?
Matt and I read, or we listened, we didn't read it, we listened to it. And it's Emotional Sabotage by mm-hmm. Joe Rigney. I think it's a newer thing that came out. And so we listened to that. I don't remember the full title, but it was really good. And it's kind of going through and talking about, yeah, like what that says, loving people, but being firm and loving people. Oh, and then the accompanying book that he wrote it on is Friedman's Fables. And that was written in the 90s. And the guy that Friedman that wrote it, he's not a believer. I think he's a rabbi. Okay. But it's a very insightful book on human behavior. And we've been finding that helpful just in terms of having someone who is far more intelligent than we are to, I don't want to talk about psychology, but, you know, to like look at a behavior or a situation and to be like, this is what that is. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, oh, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, and the other book I was thinking about is David Powelson. He had, we read The Pastor as Counselor in the fall. And that was really good. Just, you know, Matt's not a pastor or anything like that, but just looking at the church in terms of like, how do we love those who are hurting? Mm-hmm. And then there was another book that he wrote that I read called Speaking the Truth in Love. Mm-hmm. And it goes through how, I think they recommended it during the therapy series in the winter, mm-hmm. but how to love people who are going through hard times.
Yeah.
Books like that. And it's been very helpful for us to kind of walk out, like, what does this look like to love people when they are in just difficult spots?
Okay, one more question here, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So this fear of man you mentioned, it's a temptation for you. So if you see it coming, what are you trying to step towards, or what are you doing?
Praying a lot, and then talking to Matt about it. And then that typically involves, after we have a conversation, that typically involves him going to other men in the church who we admire and who are very godly, and then him, you know, being like, what help,
mm-hmm.
and trying to get like good counsel and good advice, not in like a gossipy way, but as in like how do I follow the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and every once in a while Matt might recommend, like, hey, I think that maybe you could reach out to, you know, a lady in the church, or he might name, like, I think maybe you should see if you could talk to so-and-so. But a lot of times it's like, I talk to Matt, and then we pray, and then he may, you know, like find someone to talk to, like a pastor, or like, you know, our CG leader coach, or, you know, somebody like that, to, so that way we can, you know, we're not, we're not moving in a bubble by ourselves, mm-hmm. doing whatever we think is right. We want to submit to the authority of our pastors and leaders because God has put them, he's put us in our church. He's put us, our leaders and our elders, in authority over us. And we're so grateful for that. So we want to, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. We're grateful for the structure that the Lord has given.
Mm-hmm. Okay, actually, I had one more question here. I think we're good on time. I forgot that you had one more thing in this section of, you said not being afraid if someone personally insults you or our church family or even your husband. So walk me through, is this similar to what you just said, not taking things personal? Because women definitely tend to do this. Ryan is always telling me, Laura, that's not personal.
Oh, yeah. Somehow I get told that a lot about my house cleaning, about how it's not personal, but it is. I can't see how it's not. No. Yes, that's something I am afraid of. And I realized that praying through it, I realized that it wasn't just like, oh, I'm afraid that so-and-so is going to, or not even so-and-so, just like somebody, I don't know who, right? Mm-hmm. Just like some nameless person is going to be like, oh, yeah, Katie, yeah, I've met her. She's, woo, you know,
yeah.
I don't like her. But I realized that more than that, I had to give to the Lord. Like, I'm afraid of people slandering the name of our church, of our pastors, or even of my husband, because the Lord has been so good to us, and he has put us in such an amazing and wonderful church body. And so the thought of people slandering, you know, such godly men that are in charge of, you know, that God has tasked with leading our church, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, how could someone do it? And yet, not that I personally know of anyone that has done it, but, you know, like, you know that people probably think things, mm-hmm. because we're sinners. And so we are all tempted to sin in different ways.
That's why that love is required, huh?
Yes. Yes. So, you know, having love and grace and peace and forgiveness.
All right, Katie, weeding time, if you're willing. What do you want to share?
I wrote down, a bad attitude is like sticky honey at the doorway. Clean it up immediately before it's tracked all over the house.
Where'd that come from?
I think that was Rachel Jankovic.
Okay.
That said good. That. I did not come up with that. That's not me. I'm not.
I'm like, is this an observational?
No, I can't. I'm not that smart. I can't come up with that. But I think that, I want to say that was something that I heard from her through like a post or something that she said that I listened mm-hmm. to. And I just thought it was like, that's a really good way to look at our attitudes. Mm-hmm. It's easy to, sometimes it can be easy to obey, but to obey with a good attitude, you know, like with a loving heart, to not grumble or complain. That's hard. And I grumble and complain.
What's interesting about that picture is the point is it doesn't stay with you. It's not like, oh, this just stays on the doorway. It actually affects the whole atmosphere, the whole place,
yeah,
the whole space.
Oh, yes. And it ties into the next thing I said, a mother sets the tone for her household. So what tone am I setting? Like, when my kids have a bad attitude and they don't want to do school, is it because I have a bad attitude and I don't want to do school?
Yeah.
And things like that. Like, yeah. I'm setting, and this is something I didn't realize, and so I heard someone else say it, and then I was like, oh, wow, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to see, like, what's my attitude like? And am I a happy person to be around?
Yeah. Well, I love what you shared about the Pilgrim's Progress, because that doesn't have to stay in the past. That could be applied to us now. It's like, okay, would someone look at me and go, that's cheerful in the story? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's like, okay, I actually am striving for that too. It's like, actually, I want for, like, how do I say this? I don't want to say it in a weird way, but just, I want to be known for my virtue, not mm-hmm. for, like you said, like, oh, there's the grumble person coming, duck and hide kind of thing. But I'm very thankful that, like Pilgrim's Progress, it's like a progress. It's a step towards the thing. Like, they actually are named Like God goes before us. He gives us that new name. Yeah. And then we get to like grow and fit into that name in those clothes. So praise the Lord. So what is the root of that? Do you think impatience?
I think discontent.
Okay. Well, it's funny that you mentioned having like visual cues around my house, like verses and things. I think sometimes because the point isn't like, okay, I'm discontent. And then now I'm stuck with that forever. Like in Jesus, it's like, okay, I can repent, confess it to him. And then he puts us right back on track in the moment. And not even, I think even showing your kids that, you're literally training them for the life of the Christian. If you hide the fact that we constantly need Jesus, then what are we saying? Like that there's some kind of self-righteousness that's attainable. And that's just never going to be the case. It's a false picture. So yeah, I'm striving for things to be more true of me. Just even, I'm not very good at it yet, but just remembering to smile more. Like how much even a smile can change an atmosphere. It's like weird to smile though sometimes, you know, like I'm smiling right now at you. It's weird.
I listened to a thing. I don't know if you listen to Misty Winkler at all.
I do on her Scully Sisters podcast.
Okay.
But not
so
on her other one.
I've listened to some of the housekeeping stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things she said once was, and smile at your kids. And then I realized, I was like, I physically cannot smile.
Wait, what? Let me see. Let's see you.
No, like I can't. But like in the morning when I'm like, there's the dishes in the sink and everyone's like, ma, you know, like I've got all the children on me and I'm trying to like flip a pancake or something because I like pancakes. Or, you know, like I'm trying to get a breakfast and then everyone needs me all at once. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Like, no.
Yeah.
Go away. I'm not ready. And I didn't realize it until I was like, oh, I need smile.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to practice smiling at my children more. And so I don't look so grumpy all the time to them.
Yeah, I need basics too. Like a smile, that seems pretty basic. Sometimes I try to reach for loftier things. And then I realize like it's okay to literally just start singing a simple song I learned as a kid. Like to change. Like when I want to repent, then I'm like, okay. But it can't just stay in my head that I'm repenting. So like, how can I show it outward? So then maybe where I've been at recently, to the point where the kids are like, Mom, how many songs do you know from when you were a kid? Because I've just been trying to practice this more. And I sang the weirdest one today. I'm so glad I can't remember it right now. But I'm like, okay, that was weird. I don't want to remember that one again. But just like, I've got, what is it? Peace Like a River.
Oh, yes.
That just simple one. That's the one that probably comes out the most. And then at this point now, like I said, it's been maybe just this year, the kids typically will jump right in with me. And so I just praise God for those little easy go-tos that actually they can join in. And I've been able to actually apply it to them when they've been in situations where, like, I have a certain child that tends to be grumpy. And then so I'll just start to sing that. And then before you know it, by the end. But anyway, what's the other one where you start laughing? It's so weird. Do you know the song where like there's a point where you have to start singing like
there's
ha,
a
ha,
there's
ha,
a Mary
ha,
Poppins song about laughing?
Yeah.
Is that the one? Because my
no,
kids,
it's not. It's definitely a Christian song. Okay,
because there's
song.
A Mary Poppins ones on laughing. And then okay. My kids have been doing this thing where they have different laughs.
Mm-hmm.
So they have like the silly laugh. They've got like their bad guy, you know, they just go through different character, like all these different characters they've made in laughter.
Yeah.
And so I've been playing them the Mary Poppins songs because I'm like, there's a song about laughing. And they're like, Mom, what is this?
Hey, it works though. It works. Right. I just love, since you brought up Misty Winkler, like she talks a lot about Charlotte Mason, but just how we are, like mothers are so powerfully tone setters, like you said, or the creators of that atmosphere. And then ultimately, that's what they will replicate. They will mimic the pattern that we set, you know? All right, I'm super excited to move to the section, if you're ready, the harvest section, which I think at first you kind of were like, I don't know about, and then you've had stuff. So which harvest thing do you want to start with?
Yeah, I had a really hard time with this section.
Yeah. Go ahead and say why. Just share.
I don't see a lot of fruit in my life. I know God is growing me, and I know he's most certainly growing me, but I feel like he's growing me this past year more so in like the weeding and the pruning and the sowing, like things like that, where I'm like, I want to be a good homemaker and a good homeschool mom. Like, I want to be able to do all these things, but I don't think I've really arrived.
Yeah.
I think I'm still struggling a lot most of the time. And I think he's growing me and trying to love others who are different than me and all these things. But I'm like, I just don't see the fruit in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that God's not there or he's not, he's not absent. He's most certainly there and he most certainly is working. And I see how he's working through the difficulties, through the struggles and the crying out to him and things like that. He's most certainly working. So I asked Matt, I was like, what do you see? Where is there fruit in my life?
Yeah.
I can't see it. And he said that growing in contentment and steadfastness in what God has called me to be and in taking care of the home and raising the children and homeschooling and submitting to the Lord and those and growing in those responsibilities. And learning to have that joy and that contentment. That's what he said that he's seen is just like a growth of those responsibilities and of those things and those attitudes over the year, even though I feel like I'm in the weeds.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like incredible grace and victory.
Yes.
And then you've got some sweet just things with your children. So you mentioned earlier your son is a follower of Jesus, your oldest son, pretty big.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And he's reading.
Yes. Yeah, that's huge. I mean, yeah, my son is, he got baptized for Easter. It's been really sweet to see the fruit of the gospel in his life as he's growing, because I remember there was a time where we'd be like, what do you think about trusting Jesus? And he'd be like, no, I don't want to, or when I'm older, like I have to be this age. Mm-hmm. You know, like stuff like that. And now he knows, and that's wonderful. And that's, a result of prayer and sharing the gospel, not just once or twice, but, daily. Mm-hmm. And having conversations. And so I pray, for the rest of my children. And he's reading, which is great. Like, we're making a lot of strides in reading. And
I remember once when you're like, he won't sit still, Laura.
Yes. Yes. He actually, now it's the other kids. So he still is like super athletic. He's very energetic. He's got a lot of, he's a lot like his dad. The Lord has given them a lot of the same strengths. And so he's a lot like his dad in a lot of those ways. But yes, he's like a lot more willing to like sit down and be like, okay, yes, let's learn. Not all the time, mm-hmm. But yeah, that's just been, I don't know, like my kids are just such a huge blessing. Another thing that Matt and I, when we talked about this, we were just reflecting on how we own a home. Mm-hmm. And for years, we were not able to buy a home because of Matt's job. They wouldn't approve us for a loan or anything like that. And God has blessed us with an amazing, big, beautiful home. And lots of space for us to grow into and how I mean, this is more like family, not just me, but like, right. Like Matt stepping out into faith to start his business, like selling, like doing his insurance and selling stuff. That was a step of faith, and he has grown his, and like God has been good to provide in abundance so that we're able to employ other people in the church, and that's like such a gift to be able to provide work for other families and people
and insurance.
Insurance. We insure your car, your home, your boat, whatever, life insurance,
your trampoline.
Give the office a call and we'll give you a quote. I don't work there anymore, so I talk to one of our other lovely people. They're all people from Remnant now. So
yeah, it's awesome.
Matt was saying, he's like, there was a time where we could, we were really, money was really tight.
Yeah.
And we were not making a lot at all. And it was tight. We could not eat a lot of snacks.
Yeah.
And so the Lord has now we're in a season where the economy is not good, but money is no longer as tight as it used to be. Mm-hmm. Like, let's put it that way. Like, we were able to go on a vacation, and that's a gift from the Lord. And so we want to be able to steward those gifts well, though, right?
And that was another blessing, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, just we, yeah.
Just a grace to you
just,
guys.
Just like a grace and a blessing and just the Lord, like he showers us with good gifts and he delights to give us things that we don't deserve. Mm-hmm. And so we had a wonderful time as a family, just like a really sweet, wonderful time as a family. Even like little things, like I always get a lot of anxiety before we leave on a road trip. We have, Matt and I have a history where like we always like, we somehow always get into a fight before we leave and none of that. We weren't anxious.
If one of us sinned, the other one covered it with grace and mm-hmm. forgiveness right away so that it didn't even turn into a thing, mm-hmm.
which is amazing. And we just had a wonderful time. And it was a really sweet, amazing time with our family, just me, Matt, and the kids. And it was our first vacation without any extended family, with all four kids, just the six of us. Going out and having an adventure. It was really amazing.
That's awesome. And it came after a time too where you'd shared with me earlier, like you and Matt went through a season of just feeling pretty weary, and maybe God used scripture to sort of kind of wake you up to his truth. And then it sounds like even now, even with little things like this vacation, it's an example of him like just reviving you and refreshing you and all of those things. And it reminds me of like, that's just so biblical. Like it is definitely the case that people who love and trust God don't always feel at the height of strength or whatever. You know, we are human. We get exhausted. We mm-hmm. get weary. We get discouraged. And would you just share really quickly what scripture kind of got to you?
Yeah. Galatians 6, when it says, you know, do not give up or do not grow weary. But it was the sermon that Pastor Josh preached. I think it was for April. Remnant One. He preached an amazing sermon on Galatians 6 and just encouraged and exhorted us to not give up. You know, it's like God has called you to a good work and he's not calling you to give up. He's calling you to press on and press forward. And we really needed to hear that because mm-hmm. it was just, I mean, just that day in particular, that yeah. one Sunday was just like a rough Sunday. It was just a rough Sunday for us, and it was just hard, and the Lord is just so good, and he answers prayer, and sometimes it's like you're praying something, and then you go and you listen, you go to church on Sunday to listen to the sermon. Even this past Sunday was...
On sin,
I mean, and Hagar in the desert, and the Lord meeting her, and the Lord seeing her, and saying, like, I see your affliction, I see your suffering. Even just that reminder, like the Lord sees us. He is not absent. He knows us. He knows what we are going through. And he is a good God and he cares for us. You mm-hmm. know, he is the God who sees.
Yeah.
And
what's kind of wild, I don't want to just presume to say, but what if you had hypothetically tapped out of whatever, you know, I don't know the situation, so I can't speak to it. And then you had this vacation. Would it have been as sweet and refreshing? And you know, it's just like God met you just where you needed him to. And it's just, I think so many times we like try to cut the string too soon. Like, I mean, I do. That's what faith is, right? It's like we don't see, like that's the point. Don't you know if you would have just walked three more steps, then there would have been the key that you were looking for or whatever. And then it's just like, no, I'm going to turn around and go home. And so I just love that your story is even how you just narrowed it down to even one Sunday. It's like this Sunday was just like it for us. And then that happened to be the very day that your pastor, through God and his Holy Spirit, pressing on the pastors to preach that day, that thing, or whatever, that was just what you needed for refreshing, for not just refreshing, but what's the word I'm searching for? But just to cut right to what you needed, like the yeah. surgeon does or whatever. Something I've been thinking a lot about recently was just even in my own life, how many times that God just says, Laura, just today, that's what you're given. Mm-hmm. Be faithful with today. And I think what you're going to share in a second about another harvest in your life really speaks to that, because it's something that you were faithful to. And then God opened up an opportunity that you didn't even know or expect what was coming, but you were faithful to be responsible with what you had. And then God gave the increase. I just think that's really cool. And I also think, too, that it's just important to tease out, because you said you talked about Matt and being in the insurance thing as family thing. But that is really you, too, because you guys are one flesh. So that all really is your harvest. It's your family. It's the Becker harvest. For example, a few years ago, Ryan felt really pressed to buy this stack of books that was like higher than his waist. And he's like, I need to do this, Laura. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like, you're never going to read all these. And just like, what in the world? And he would keep them by the chair, this green chair we have, if you've ever seen it. And it was higher than the arm. But he went through them one by one by one by one. And I think one year he read like, I don't know, 90 books or something crazy. And he doesn't keep up that pace every year. But it was nuts. And how, like, he didn't know what was around the corner for our family in a certain sense. And how every single one, like, kind of changed the trajectory of our life in a way. And it's like, whoa, God, what if he hadn't obeyed you to do this crazy thing? I don't know. And then, yeah, another even simple thing that I was thinking about in this example of being faithful with what's right in front of you is sometimes you referenced the Holy Spirit sometimes pressing you to talk to some woman or something like that. I get that sometimes too. And sometimes I feel crazy and want to disregard it. It's like, that just seems so simple and so silly. Like, I can just ignore that. But there's times recently that I've done that and obeyed. And then not long after, Ryan would be like, hey, Laura, I'm starting to build this relationship with this guy. And I'd be like, Ryan, I've been building a relationship with his wife. And it's just so, like, it blows my mind what God does and just how it seems, it could seem so simple, but it feels so personal and intimate. So when we do trust, my point is, God, with like what's on our plates for the very day, sometimes tomorrow we're just surprised and amazed and in wonder of the intimacy of his love and care in meticulous ways in our life. And I just talked for a really long time. But it's just so cool because what you're about to share is about your artwork, your passion, or whatever, however you want to say it. But for me, I feel like that can be woven into a very ordinary part of your life. And do you want to share that?
Yeah. So right before I left on vacation, I took my big sketchbook journal that I write down a lot of ideas and thumbnails and stuff in. I had finished up a painting, and then I'd been praying, like, Lord, what should I do next? Because I've got a bunch of projects that I could start, and I'm excited about all of them. And you know, like, kind of woven into that is also sort of like long-term goal, Lord, how would you have me use this this aspect of my life of art making? And then I thought about it, and then I wrote in my notebook, I'm like, I'm gonna make work for a gallery show. And I had, you know, like, I have a title that's been in my head for years now. So I was like, okay, I'm going to make the work for a hypothetical show. I have some pieces that I have made over the years already. I mean, hundreds of reference photos, like hundreds, probably thousands of reference photos of specifically Richmond urban landscapes, like alleyways, graffiti. I mean, I keep a whole catalog of stuff like that. And so I wanted to make some. So I said, all right, I'm going to do it. And then went on vacation and I didn't really think about it.
You said you even went as far as like dimensions, thumbnails, scripture.
Thumbnails. Yeah. I had narrowed it down to, this is the work that I want to make. The dimensions for, like, this is the size of all the paintings I want to make. Here are the titles that I want to give all of these paintings. Here are the scripture verses that I have been thinking about that, or maybe ideas. Some of them have scripture, some of them don't. It's as I work, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, kind of, you know, like, things get pressed on my heart and then it comes out visually. And so I had all these ideas and I'm like, I'm going to do it. And I even wrote down, I'm going to do this.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Let me see.
I said, I'm going to do it.
It does say that.
Yes.
Literally. Yep.
With an exclamation point. And
yes, exclamation. Yes. I got it.
And then we're driving home from vacation. And then Ryan texted me and Matt and was like, hey, so you want to fill the hallway of Shaco Art Space?
Yes. For our next show.
We need stuff in a month.
Yeah.
And I was like, Matt, what do you think? And he's like, sure, go for it.
Yay. That's so amazing. And I love just the dedication, like your notebook. It's very full as I'm looking at it right now. Lots of thought and prayer and desire poured into that. And yeah, and I'm really excited that it's not just about you, like it's going to be shared. And very soon.
I'm very excited. I've always...
August opening, everybody.
I don't know if I've ever said it out loud, maybe just in my head to myself. I don't know. But I've always wanted to have the hallway in Chaco Art Space.
Really?
I've always wanted to be able to just the hallway. And Matt turned to me and he's like, look, that hallway is like, that's like the space for a normal show.
Yeah.
The actual gallery is huge. It's like a retrospective.
It's huge.
It's huge. Yes. So I've always been like, I can't fill the whole thing. I just want the hallway.
Yeah. It's an intimidating space.
I'm excited. So Matt and I need to talk to him a lot more about what I want, because the stuff I've made, we've talked about like other stuff that we can put in there, I can put in there, but but yeah, I'm excited.
Beautiful. All right. So as we close out this podcast, would you move right into what you've brought to share with us all that goes right along with just these beautiful artworks that you make?
So I didn't really know what to share. I tend to think visually about things. And so I wanted to share a piece of art that I made that means a lot to me. But because it's a podcast, I thought I would just describe it, and it will be shown in the show in August so everyone can see it. But yeah, just share it and then share the scripture behind it and some of the symbolism in it. So then that way, as you know, my church family, as we are all in church and looking at this, and if you see it, then you would not just say, oh, this looks like Richmond because it's a graffiti dumpster. and that's what Richmond is. It's a lot of graffiti everywhere, right? But you can also look at it and say, like, I know that this isn't just a landscape of Richmond. This is, I see the Lord in this. And so it comes from Isaiah 53, and it's really, I read the whole chapter. It's amazing.
Read whatever you want if you want to go ahead.
I didn't write down the whole chapter. But anyway, some of the verses that I did write down, Isaiah 53:2, he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him, no appearance that we should desire him. And then 53:4, yet he himself bore our sickness and he carried our pains, but we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. And it continues. But that's what I wrote down. And the painting is called Before the Throne, and it's taken from Isaiah 53. And in the painting, you'll see it's a blue dumpster with graffiti on it. And then behind the dumpster, there's a bunch of trees, mostly with bare branches, some ivy and, whatever grows on the Richmond trees. So that blue dumpster represents Christ, because it says that he did not have a beautiful form so that we could love or worship him, but he was instead reviled, he was cast off and rejected. Christ was crushed for our iniquities. So to me, the image of a dumpster, physically disgusting, smelly, gross, it's literally, it's where we put our trash. It's where I put the poopy diapers, right? That represents Christ, and I don't mean that as in a sacrilegious way. I mean that as in, like, he was something that people did not appreciate and scorned and reviled. And on top of that, you can look at the graffiti scrawled all over the dumpster as people who have mocked Christ and who have insulted Christ and who have spoken badly of our Lord. And you can think about it as when he was on trial and how he was flogged and he was abused. And then you can look at the trees in the background behind the dumpster, and you can think of that as the crown of thorns that they put on him. And then you can think about the title, Before the Throne, and I took that from the
from one of the hymns that we sing, and just think about Christ and what he has suffered for us, and by his suffering, how he loves us so much. There's another painting that I wanted to talk about too. It's not going to be in the show because it's in a, someone bought it. Like as soon as they saw it, they bought it immediately. It was incredible. But it's called Power of the Air. And that one was talking, it was talking about the sin that we fight. It was talking about the sin that the church fights. And it was talking about sin from, you know, us Christians, where we confess sin and we repent. And it's talking about people who stay with the church and who follow the Lord, and people who fall away from the Lord and who walk away from the faith. And I was painting this as we were going through a lot of things with a lot of different friends and people, and confessing sin and repenting sin, and also seeing people being unrepentant in sin. I don't know. I was also thinking about Power of the Air in, I think it's in Ephesians, but Colossians also echoes Ephesians a lot, and how our fight, a lot of times we want to say that our fight is about, we want to say it's, I'm fighting this person or this group of people, right? And it's a reminder that it's like we're fighting the sin in ourselves. We're fighting the sin in the world. We're also fighting the prince of the air, right? The wicked prince Satan, who rules this world, as he's described in Pilgrim's Progress as the wicked prince. And we're fighting how he tempts us, he accuses us, he lies. You know, it's one about fighting sin, I think, and a lot about spiritual warfare. And so that image, it shows it's in an alleyway, and it's the back of a building that appears to be abandoned. I don't know if it is or isn't at this point, because this was, you know, years ago, completely covered in graffiti, and there's trash cans. Some are standing, some are fallen on the ground. And so you can think of trash cans as people. We're sinners in need of grace. And you can think of some of us are fallen down and some of us are standing, but we're all in need of grace. And we're fighting. Christ is the one really, though, that's fighting for us. And the good news for all of us is to remember that Christ is victorious. And he reigns supreme, and he is coming back to make all things new. And that includes us. That includes this world. That includes this city. And, you know, what a glorious good God that we have. What a glorious good Savior that we have, that we can run to, and that he loves us and cares for us so much that he would bleed and die for us, and that we can rest in him because he is reigning. He is victorious. And like it says, Christ has come and Christ will come again.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in the local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for his glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and his faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the Master Gardener is always at work. So let's yield to him and grow where we're planted.